Today's guest is Kat Coluccio. First of all, she has a great name, doesn't she? She is a New Zealander. I believe she's a transplanted Australian living in New Zealand. And she's married to an Italian. Super interesting. And she loves cats, of course. Who wouldn't love cats with the name Kat? So we met on Instagram and she is a delight. She is so interesting. She is rocking her midlife and she has written a book recently. She's a book author of 3 books now, but five books, but 3 in a series where she talks about 21 hacks. And her most recent book is 21 Hacks to Rocking Your Midlife. So she's really cool. She just finished a summit talking about how to rock your midlife. She knows a lot about rocking your midlife. She has done a lot of different things. She's so interesting. And we even get into some vagina talk. So, you know, you gotta talk about these things. If they're going to help people, you just got to go there, right? So I hope you enjoy the interview. And here's Kat.
Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. And today I have with me Kat Coluccio. And it does sound Italian, but she does not sound Italian. So she's married to an Italian, but she is a New Zealander, at least for the last 22 years. She has 2 grown kids. She's a nanny. Is that what you said?
Nonna. Italian grandmother.
Oh, yes. And I'm a nanny. So we have that in common. Yes. And we both are super passionate about just finding what you love to do and doing it and not waiting another minute, no matter how old you are. So I am very, very excited to have Kat here. I think I stalked her on Instagram and asked her to come on my podcast. And she's been very, very busy doing a virtual summit called Rock Your Midlife.
Rocking Midlife.
Yes. And she's a book author and she's amazing. We've been talking and we finally said we have to press record. So we have so much in common. So welcome to the show, Kat.
Thank you so much, Laurie. It's so cool to be here with you. And it was, like I said to you, it was mutual stalking, mutual fangirling. I saw you and went, oh, I love this woman's vibe. So I'm so glad that we're finally able to connect.
Yes. Yes, I am too. And so we don't know what we're going to talk about. Like we were chatting so much beforehand and we're like, let's just push record and we can just pretend we're
see what happens.
Nobody's listening. Yeah. So first of all, I would love for you to share to the listeners about kind of that moment you said when you were 43 where, and you remember it so well as often these moments of real, when we realize that a change needs to be made. I mean, we can like visually step back in time and remember exactly what it was. So I'd love for you to share that. And what you're doing and also anything that you want to talk about, especially I like pets. So if you want to talk about your cat and your chickens or your cats, I think they're plural. So yes. And her name came first, I think is what
it
she
did.
Said.
The name came first.
Yes.
Not linked.
Yeah.
Okay. Gosh, where to start? All right. So 43 is definitely a pivotal year for me. I know that Douglas Adams in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy says the meaning of life is 42, but in my case, it all happened at 43. Long story short, I'm one of these people that's done lots of different things in life. I started out as a high school music teacher, went into lecturing, put together a ministry training college that I ran for a number of years, bands, gigs, all that business. When we migrated to New Zealand, I just worked as a professional musician for many years while basically being the mum at home because we had no family here and my husband was traveling a lot. So in the last 6 years of my kids' high school years, I ended up actually homeschooling them because by that point, both of them were quite elite state in their sports and were literally traveling the world. My daughter was competing in Japan and America a lot. My son was in Japan and Germany a lot with his soccer. And so, you know, we just wanted to make it work for them so that they could get an education. They could actually get time to recover and rest as well as cope with their whopping big training schedules that they both had. So my son is the older one. When he finished and he went off and he actually went and played with second division Bundesliga in Germany for a while, and he headed off overseas. And, you know, by then, like, the inkling was, oh, this season's going to be coming to an end soon. But I kept my blinkers firmly on and just threw everything into my daughter. And then there was this blinding moment, like I was telling you, when I was age 43 and we were sitting out on the back deck, that's our verandas, we call them a deck over here in New Zealand, and my daughter was sitting there and she had a pile of envelopes and they were all the offers from all the different universities offering her all these places, and she's opening these up and getting them out and, oh my gosh, look at this, look at this. And I was sitting there going, oh, that is incredible, I'm so proud of you, that's so wonderful. And inside I was going, oh heck, I am now redundant, what the heck do I do now? And it was really, it was like a sucker punch to the stomach. It was just like, oh, hell. What am I gonna do?
Like, basically, that is, I'm not needed anymore.
Yeah. Completely redundant. I mean, come on, these kids can drive. They were traveling the world. You know, the only place they really needed mum at that point was to feed and encourage and, you know, and help them just manage their schedules and oversee their education. So they were very self-sufficient already due to what they've been doing.
Yeah, it reminds me of me a little bit because I have two daughters and they played competitive soccer as well. And the world revolved around them, even though I worked, but I didn't miss a game. And it was so much fun, like going to the different tournaments and being with the other parents. And, you know, it was such a family outside of that. And then it's done.
And it's done.
Yeah.
And it's true. It was my life from when we came to New Zealand to when that happened, that would have been 11 years or so. And it really was. It was my entire life just facilitating everything for these guys to really be able to, you know, reach their dreams and live out their dreams and compete and travel the world with their sport, which they did representing New Zealand. And, you know, they're amazing years. And so that redundancy hit was like, oh, it was everything. It was like you said, it was everything, that whole world, you know, whole weekend spent at tournaments and with the other parents and getting kids on and off and all of that. And I thought, gosh, you know, I need to work out what I'm going to do. And I figured I had two options. I could either sit and pine for what I had because I loved that season. I really loved that season of homeschooling. Or I could choose to just honor that season, that it was wonderful and I loved it and it was brilliant, but choose to make the next season great too. So I made a real definitive choice in my head. And I was saying to you before, being an introvert, I tend to go process everything internally. So I went away down to my bedroom. That's how far away I went. But I removed myself from the crowd and started thinking. And I basically worked out, right, I know I don't want to teach. My philosophy's really changed from homeschooling. I don't want to go back into lecturing or working with students or anything like that. I really want to help people because that's always been a big driver of mine, which is why I kind of just fell into teaching, because I was always wanting to help and you know, encourage and everything. And I thought, well, there's two options. I nailed it down to two options I could go for. One would be a funeral director. Random, I know, but I'd actually been in ministry back in Australia for a while, so not that out of the box, and I'd actually taken two funerals. The other was a personal trainer. Now, the personal trainer bit was pretty bizarre, given that, you know, while I facilitated my children, I was hugely overweight, hugely unfit, and hadn't darkened the door of a gym myself for 10 years, other than to drop the kids there. So it was really random. So I thought it through, and then I decided, you know something, the funeral director will take up too much of my weekend time too, because family really is a priority for me. So I'm going to go for the personal trainer. So I went ahead, made my interview down with the New Zealand Institute of Sport. After that phone call, came out, announced to the family, just letting you all know, I'm going to be a personal trainer. And they all kind of looked at me, including my husband, like, oh, okay. And then there's,
yeah. Well, in a way, it's kind of accomplishing two things, right?
Yeah,
it's it was. It's going to give you more fulfillment, and then you're going to get healthy.
Help me get healthy. Yeah, yeah. Yes, that was the clincher for me, that and the weekend thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, after they all sort of picked themselves up off the ground and went, okay, didn't see that coming, then I let them know that my interview was actually the next day. Mm-hmm. And within 2-3 weeks, I think, I was having to don the little tracksuit, go down to this school, because it wasn't an online thing. I had to front up and I had to train and learn alongside kids that were younger than my kids. I had to learn from lecturers that were way younger than me. I had to do freaking fitness testing. Don't ask me why I didn't even think that there might be something like fitness testing. Doing that 2 weeks in was hilarious. And but I came out of it. You know, I came out of that year 18 kilos lighter, fit, feeling like I was on purpose, I was on a mission to help people. And that started the next 7 years of a really amazing season where I ended up working in a big shed, a big old bodybuilding gym out in South Auckland. And it was a wonderful, wonderful season. Challenging, but wonderful.
Well, you went from like music teacher.
That's when my midlife reinvention started. And so that little episode in my life is what totally changed the trajectory of where I was going. And I found myself now in a place which, you know, I didn't see myself being online, encouraging other women and doing what I do now. I didn't see that 10 years ago, but it's been an evolution of taking that step and being brave and going and changing my career at the time and changing everything about myself, really, and pushing through the scary, hard stuff that I had to go through. And it's ended up, you know, leading to here we are today. So,
and do you think that change, you know, that decision to go do something that was like completely like shocking to everybody, that was evidence that helped you as you went to the next thing?
Absolutely. And it's given me probably a greater understanding of what other people have to go to as well. Because up to that point, let's face it, I had a nice, fairly comfy life. Sure, I was busy and doing huge hours, but, you know, I was able to homeschool our children. We live, you know, we've got a roof over our heads and all of that. So it was a nice, comfortable life. So it was the jolt I needed to actually get out and start fighting for myself. And that was a big thing, because up to that point, everything had been about the kids. And now I had to start actually fighting for myself. Mm-hmm. And in the process over the last few years too, fighting for my marriage as well, because, you know, a long-term marriage, I'm coming up to 33 or 34 years this year, I can't remember. But, you know, that gets often pushed aside as well when you're focusing on the kids so much. So, you know, it making that game-changing decision in my life, I think, has changed a whole lot of things for me. And the ripple effect in that too is the kids have seen their mother getting out and achieving and doing things and living life. And I think that's been something to really model for them as well.
Yes. Yes. That's what I was going to ask you. You took the words out of my mouth. Is what do you think it's done for them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's just encouraged them that, you know, Mum and Dad are still, because my husband's the same, we're both still on fire. We've got so many dreams. I've got so many things I want to do. You know, I haven't got time for, we were talking earlier about retirement. I've got friends in Australia who went through university with me. We studied at the Conservatorium in Sydney. And I'm looking at their Facebook pages where they're all taking their superannuation and retiring now because they've been in the teaching game for all these years, and all power to them. But I was different. I kind of did all these things, and I'm full of dreams and full of things that I want to achieve. And, you know, I'm worried I'm going to run out of time because I got so much I want to do.
I know we were talking, just she was saying that, because we were talking before we hit record about how when people say that they are counting down their days to retirement,
yeah,
to me, that's a sign that they're looking to escape the life and the job that they're in. And it kind of makes me sad, because to me, retirement should be filled with, you know, passion and the purpose. Things that you want to do for the rest of your life. And there's so much to do, and sitting on a beach, even though it's nice and on occasion, I would like to do that for a week, definitely. Yeah. But I can't see myself doing it for a year. That would
I'd go crazy.
Old. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me, so we talked about, you know, I love animals. So I want to talk about the animals. So how did you end up with like, well, cats, everybody, cats are kind of low maintenance. I used to have cats growing up and I had this one black and white cat. I'll tell you, we would have pets and then they would get pregnant and then we'd have the babies.
Yeah.
And we didn't do it on purpose. It was just kind of like, well, we did have a pug dog and they did have a litter on purpose for that. But the pug dog couldn't get pregnant from a purebred pug dog. The pug got pregnant when the collie dog jumped the fence. And so we had these mutts, you know, that you couldn't really sell. But anyways, I was really clever one year because we adopted a cat and we didn't know the cat was pregnant. So the cat had babies. And so I said to my sister and I, got really clever. We named one after my father and the other after my mother. So we got to keep the one we named after my father. And that cat was like the best cat of my life, of my life. So, but he's just a great black and white cat. So I know cats, I'm familiar with cats and they're great pets because they kind of self, you know, they don't require a lot. You know, they can take care of themselves.
Oh, they're cool. I've got to admit, I'm such a cat person and it's not the name really, but, no, I grew up with cats. So always loved cats, but,
so how many do you have?
Oh gosh, it's a bit embarrassing. I have three.
Oh, that's not bad.
No. And downstairs in the flat downstairs, my son and his wife have three.
Oh, wow.
We didn't set out for this to happen. It kind of just happened. My husband has told us numerous times that if another one comes in the house, that's it. He's gone. But,
that's so funny. But,
And then you're all rescues. They're all rescues.
Yeah, that's so great. Now, do you have chickens, you said?
Yes, way too many chickens. Okay. Way too many chickens. We keep getting rid of our roosters and the neighbors' roosters keep visiting. So we often, when people come for a visit, give them a hen and 10 babies and say, here you go, here's your starter kit. And they go home with their kit of chickens to start with because we have to find homes for all these babies.
That's great.
We've done that to so many people. So
do you get eggs from them?
Yes, we do. We do. Okay. When they're not naughty and hiding and we can't find them, and which is when they appear a few weeks later with, you know, 12 babies behind them. It's like, oh, here we go again. We are the most laid back chicken owners out. See, New Zealand doesn't have predators like Australia has. So there's no foxes or anything here.
Oh.
I think there are the odd stoats. We do live next to a big gully, but we've never had a problem with that. So our guys just free range, come and go. And when they suddenly we can't find them at all, you're guaranteed they're sitting on nests somewhere. And we look and look and they're really good at hiding. So we've kind of multiplied, which is so funny because you hear of people, you see people who are, they grab the eggs and they incubate them and they fuss over these eggs. And we've done nothing. We seriously just have babies appear and we just let them free range with the rest of the chickens and they grow up big and healthy. And
I was wondering if you like have eggs that you eat.
Kind
of cooking eggs. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. They're fantastic. Right. Honestly, they look full of anyone who hasn't had like, home raised free range eggs. It's amazing. They're fluorescent. The color is fluorescent.
Yes. I've seen them. We have some friends who have them. Yeah. And I didn't know you could sit them out. You don't have, we're so used to like, you got to refrigerate everything. Yeah. But you can sit out eggs and on the counter.
You can for a little while. You can for a while. Not in summer. Not in summer, but
So, so do you like, do you garden? Do you go outside?
No.
Okay. So
should I garden? Yeah, probably.
I was reading a book and it was saying how gardening and being with nature like that is actually meditative, meditative. And that, cause I'm always thinking. And I think of meditation as like stopping the brain, but apparently I haven't gardened for many years. And I used to I think my gardening was mowing the lawn when my kids were little, but so apparently though, you can get into that place when you meditate, when you garden. So I thought that was kind of cool. Maybe my husband would love me to garden because he's out in the yard.
So would mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine's out there a lot. Look, we're in a funny place. We're semi-rural. We're not fully rural. We're semi-rural, but we do have a little bit of land. We're just talking under an acre sort of thing. But there's enough for my husband to get out there on his ride-on mower and feel like king of the world. And, I love the idea of gardening, but I've just never gotten into it. I would so much rather sit and start writing. And yeah, that's what kind of happens.
Yeah.
He ends up doing that stuff. And I'm yeah.
So what made you pick up, like, so you've done all these different things and then you did the personal training thing and then you got an itch to go online, clearly. Yeah. And you started to write books. You've just written your third book. So tell me how, in what order did you write your book first or did you go online first or did you do both? How did that work?
Kind of online first. Going back to the homeschooling years, homeschooling, when I did it, particularly here in New Zealand, people thought we were idiots. They really thought we were nutters, particularly because we lived in the zone for like the best public school in the country. So people thought we were crazy. And so there wasn't anyone I could kind of talk to or interact with. I know that there were a couple of little pockets of homeschooling people around, but we had nothing to do with them because most of those people were trying to supplement their kids' education by doing, you know, sports together and stuff like that. Well, we already had all that in place because of their huge training schedules and stuff. So I felt quite alone. So I got online then, and that's when I discovered the power of connecting with people online. So I would jump on every day. It was mainly blogs then, but I'd be reading the homeschooling blogs. I'd connect with people, and I've still got friends now. In fact, one friend that I met through homeschooling was a lady whose husband's in the film industry, and they ended up coming to New Zealand when they were filming here years ago. We caught up, hit it off, and I've since stayed with them. And my daughter has stayed with them dozens of times when she's been over in LA. So it's amazing how, you know, these connections that you make in the online space can really turn into real friendships.
Yes.
So when I started personal training, this is another area where I talk about a lot. I was in a really unique situation of I was starting in a career that I had no history in. No credibility, no history, no references or anything like that. Here I was at 44 at that point, starting a brand new career. I was also starting in an area where I didn't live, so I didn't know people, so I couldn't, like, you know, bribe a couple of friends to come and train with me. I had to start from nothing. And so what I decided to do was eventually I managed to bribe two people to train with me, and I trained them for free to get started. And I went online and I created a Facebook group, and I wanted to give these clients value, extra value beyond just, you know, working with me at the time in the gym. And that grew, and that group grew, and eventually it turned into other people being attracted. I was bringing warm people who didn't know me were being invited into the group by the people in there because they were getting so much value. And it kind of just grew from there. And out of that group, when I came out of the gym, I ended up realizing that the bulk of the people in that group by that point were midlifers. They were people like me who were wanting to transform their life, be it their health and body or their whole life or whatever. And that morphed into the group that I have now run for a number of years, Rocking Midlife. Mm. So that's how it all kind of happened. And that's why I actually teach in entrepreneurial circles. I actually teach about using Facebook groups now to attract warm new people and, you know, nurture people and convert and nurture your clients at the same time. So that's what happened. So I wrote my first book. Actually, I've done four or five books, but there's only three. That was my first little baby one, Girl, Get Over Yourself and Get in the Game. And that was my little personal training one. That's where I cute. Wrote about my story. Yeah. And then, so that I wrote that while I was still a personal trainer. And then I wrote the other ones coming out of that because I've always loved to write. But there was another issue I was dealing with too, which is why I came out of the gym. I mentioned it to you earlier, and that is that I live with chronic pelvic pain. And so every day is a challenge managing that. I've got a condition called interstitial cystitis, which I actually talked about in the summit with a lady who's a pharmacist who knows all about it. And it means that as I was doing those years in the gym, you know, tend to wear the leggings and you're moving and you're on your feet, I would be in the bathroom 20, 30 times in a four-hour shift. Just because it mimics the pain and it mimics a urinary tract infection, which is, you know, pretty crippling pain to be dealing with, but it's not bacterial. So you can't just take your antibiotics and you'll be right. It took a long time to work out what it was, and it was incredibly debilitating. And it got to the point in the gym where it was like, I need to change what I do now. I can't physically actually do this anymore. The pain was so crippling. So that helped me, pushed me, really gave me the push into, okay, I'm already in this online world. I'm already found a way of inspiring and encouraging and still doing the thing I want to do, which is help women. And so I just changed it into putting all my energy into this and writing, which I've always loved doing, and managing my own pain so that I can still be able to give and feel like I'm living on purpose, which is to help other women, instead of being held back by that pain and feeling like I can't do anything.
So, do you feel your pain is less now that you're not doing the personal training stuff?
Definitely less. Definitely mm-hmm. less. It's something that will never go away. It's something that I have to manage.
Yeah.
So some days are better than others, but we've finally worked out some medications and things that help as well as lifestyle. You know what the best thing was? This sounds terrible. The COVID lockdowns.
Ah.
It gave me permission basically to just stay home.
Yeah.
Which up to that point, I was still trying to push myself and go out, and I was doing speaking and delivering workshops out and about and still trying to manage the pain. At least it wasn't as constant as when it's in the gym. Mm-hmm. It gave me permission to be able to stay home. So I learned, you know, I can wear my loose pants. I can sit back on a recliner rather than sitting at an office desk, which takes pressure off the pelvic region. I can manage the pain so much better. And I can still be living my purpose of helping and inspiring other women. So,
you know what the weird thing is? I mean, I think we have so much in common, and I've never shared this with anybody because it's never come up. But after my second child was born, I started to have severe pain, pelvic pain.
Wow.
And I went to, I was with a group at the time. And, mm-hmm. and I remember a doctor said to me one time when I was in there, he said, "Are you married?" And I was like, I was really offended because I was like, "Are you insinuating that I'm sleeping around and that's my problem?" You know, I was like, and if you look at my chart and you knew anything about me, I've had two kids here and I'm married. Yes. But anyways, I was really frustrated. And fortunately, a neighbor of mine was a nurse at the hospital. And one of the surgeons that she worked with was the head of the OBGYN part of the health group mm-hmm. I was in.
Yeah.
And he only took special cases, and she mentioned me, and I got an appointment with him, and he figured out what was wrong with me, and I had surgery to fix it. So the same month my daughter had been born the year before it was solved. But basically what it's called the condition's called pelvic congestion. And it's when the ligaments that hold my uterus up had stretched to the point where they were about to snap, I guess. And so, and so my uterus was kind of like prolapsed or laying on itself or something. And so I was like, I wonder if she has that or had that, but it sounds like you have something different. But isn't that crazy? It's very similar, and it's so debilitating when
something like that happens.
Yeah.
Because like you, I mean, I've alluded to it now and then over the past few years, but it's when I did these summit interviews, like I said, I had this pharmacist on, and it was kind of like my coming out because I thought, you know, other women need to know that you can still live a purposeful life even when you have to manage crap like that, because that's the reality at midlife, isn't it? There's crap. It happens. Mm. Now, I'm sorry that word offends people, but it's the way it is. I mean, we deal with grief. We're dealing with hormones. We're dealing with life in general, like lockdowns and financial problems and stuff like that, which is why my group was intentionally called Rocking Midlife, because my purpose is to try and find joy even in the midst of those things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the pain that some of we women go through, you were so lucky to find a doctor that was able to nail it. It took me 7 years.
Yes.
Seven years of sitting on my bed with an ice pack between my leg, crying night after night because of the pain. Yeah. And, you know, you think about, like I said, I'm married to an Italian husband. You know, it's put strain on our marriage at times.
Yeah. And I just feel we have to be our biggest advocate, and we just have to keep looking and have to keep looking. And I had chronic fatigue syndrome was, I found out. And my, again, it was a neighbor. My next door neighbor was in the healthcare field, different neighbor, different neighborhood. And she said, you need to go see an infectious disease specialist. And I was like, oh, and that was in the day of like when HIV had just like was rampant, AIDS. But I went to him and he diagnosed me and put me on some treatment that helped. And it was like, you know, I think it was just because, you know, instead of I'm a vocal person and I'm always like asking questions, I'm always trying to figure things out. And in those cases, it was me that I needed to figure something out for. And I was very fortunate. Yeah, I was very fortunate. But, you know, so if anybody's dealing with something, I just encourage them to keep searching, because like doctors, they haven't seen every case of everything.
No,
and some
right.
of these things can be rare that people have.
Very much so. Like I was like you, I did the research. I found things, you know, I didn't immediately go, oh, Dr. Google said this. And therefore what I did is I found information. I took that research to my doctor and then she was able to go, okay. Oh, we could try this. And then we were able to find things, but it was generally me driving it because mm-hmm. she hadn't encountered anyone like this before.
Yeah.
So it's been an interesting journey.
But, and I, you know, I think just like, you know, ask, I mean, the problem is a lot of stuff. First of all, a lot of people aren't very open because that's, you know, it's hard to be like vulnerable and open like that.
Yeah.
And also when it's kind of a women's issue, you know, it's like something that's related to kind of below the belt. It's like, it's embarrassing.
You did right.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah. I think I wrote a blog post on it a couple of years ago, you know. I'd forgotten totally about it. You just reminded me, because I sort of said, you know, these days we talk more about mental health. So mm-hmm. the stigma is becoming less about that. And if you've got a broken arm or you've got a broken leg, you know, you let people know. But how do you say, hey, I've got a broken vagina?
Yeah.
How do you say that? You know?
Yeah.
Or how are you feeling today? Well, actually, my vagina's on fire. How are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't kind of say that. So you suffer in silence, but it is really debilitating. And I think there is a need for women, like you said, women need to talk about the crappy stuff as well as the good stuff, because we're getting better at going, you know, eat healthy, do this, you'll have a wonderful mm-hmm. midlife and you'll be strong and da, da, da. But some of us actually are dealing with other stuff too that we need a bit of camaraderie around as well and encouragement about, you know, just with our own day-to-day battles.
Yeah.
So,
and it's like a lot of women our age were raised where you don't talk about, you know, it's taboo to talk about that. I think kids nowadays are like a lot more open about what they talk about. But so that's interesting.
So there's a segue you didn't see coming anyway.
Yeah, that's a segue you didn't see coming. Your next book is Rocking Your Vagina.
It probably will be.
Yeah.
You know, something I'm getting close to thinking, is it time to write about it? Is it time to... Yeah, it's one of those things where you think, I don't know if I want to be the poster child for this. The introvert in me is just going, oh my God, my parents will hear it. And, but so many women, like us, we're saying, need to know that they're not alone.
Yeah.
And you can still keep your marriage together. You can still function. You can still live a purposeful life, even if you are dealing with these horrible issues in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, with your track record, there's another book in you, so it won't be your last book. It'll be something else.
I've already worked it out. That's one of my goals, you know. You know how we talk about don't want to retire? Oh, man, I'm putting it out here. I'm being totally honest with you, which I normally hide my little goals and then just do them. But, yeah, I've got a goal. I want to do a book a year for the next 20 years. So you heard it here first. So if I don't do it, feel free to give me a virtual slap around the head. Because I want that to be part of my legacy that I leave for my children and other women. So
that's so cool.
I can't believe I just put it out.
Yeah. Have you thought of what any of them are, or is that to be determined?
To be determined. I'll still be continuing the 21 Hack series for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so many fun things you can do with that. And they're nice, light, easy, practical reads, because I'm actually mm-hmm. all about being practical. So my books aren't wonderful literary masterpieces by any shot, you know. They're nice, easy. Here's an idea. Here's how it worked for me. Here's an action plan. Go out and try it and see what results you get. So every one of those 21 hacks is kind of like that.
And everybody knows what a hack is, and everybody needs them in their life. You know, like to me, what a hack is how can I cut the time and do something that I need to get done?
Yeah. Yeah. And, it's just simple changes, simple actions you can implement in your life to make things better, depending what area that you're focusing on.
Yeah.
So I'm all about practical stuff like that.
Yeah, that's great. So that's on your agenda. Have you done your book for this year? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in theory, yes, I have. So the latest book, 21 Hacks to Rock Your Midlife, we had a little pre-launch during the summit, and that's going to be launched officially mid-August. And I think there might be another one this year if I get the time, if I can get it out. But I'm one of these people that wants to do so much that we'll just wait and see.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's going on with COVID in New Zealand? Are you guys able to travel? Are you, because you were saying, or do you speak mostly when you speak inside of New Zealand? And is that
speaking has been done virtually over the last 2 years. So I've done a lot of virtual summits and interviews and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, the rest of the world has looked on, and we are very lucky in that we are a smaller population. We are not so densely populated as a lot of the countries out there. And we're surrounded by water. We're an island, and Australia is a little bit the same, which is where all my family is. So it's been good in one sense in that we haven't been affected the way you guys have been, with lots of hospitalizations and things like that. The downside is our economy is very, very, very tight at the moment. Things are quite hard for people, for young people especially. The housing market's gotten right out of hand, and hence why we've got a self-contained unit downstairs so that my son and his wife can live and save, because it's just there's a renting crisis and there's a housing crisis happening. But at the same time, like I said, I mean, we are blessed in that we're healthy. We haven't been able to travel. You could, if you're prepared to pay $3,000 coming back to be in isolation for 2 weeks in one of their isolation sort of places that they've got.
Yeah.
So for the average Kiwi living here, like myself, we haven't been able to travel. So I haven't seen my family for, just about 2 years over. And all of our family's over there. And it's been a little bit heartbreaking for my parents in particular, who are on their own in Sydney, because both of my brothers live up the coast. So they haven't seen their great-grandson, their first ever great-grandchild yet. So my mum's been desperate. So thank God we live in an era of technology at least.
Yes, I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
So, I know Canadians are kind of the same way, as they can't leave.
Yeah.
So my clients, they want to do some traveling, and that's some of their big goals, and they can't.
Yeah.
They can't go far.
We haven't been able to travel at all. And levels and things change so quickly. Like Australia, half the states there have suddenly locked down just in the last 2 days. We've been taking note of that. And because, I must admit, there was one month where we called it the bubble. The bubble was opened between New Zealand and Queensland in Australia, where they eliminated the isolation thing. So my husband and I jumped on a plane and raced over and caught a 4-day conference over there, and just saw a couple of friends in a 4-day conference, but we couldn't go any further to go down south to see family because of border issues, but even between the states. So it's been challenging. We are desperate to travel because we are such a small isolated place. We're all desperate to get out and go visiting.
Yeah. And I got a lot of airline credits I got to use before the end of the year. Yeah. So as we wrap up, I would love for you to pick one of your 21 hacks to rocking midlife that you think is worth sharing with my listeners.
So the new one, if I've been smart, I would have had the list, because what I do is I group the hacks into 7 different areas. Okay. Mm. And so there's a 7-step plan, but it's so new, I can't rattle it off the top of my head. But the first part of it I talk about in the 21 Hacks to Rock Your Midlife is releasing the past. And I think that's really important. And it's what I said at the beginning, when I talked about walking away from my previous life, being a homeschooling, driving, feeding sports mum. I think that there needs to be a point where you need to release the past, and that's the good and the bad. It means that you honour what you've had, you honour what's gone before, but you don't get stuck in that place pining. You don't get stuck wishing for days gone by. You honour it and you release it. You take the learnings, you take the memories, you let go of the stuff that wasn't good, And then you choose to look forward. And I think if you can start off with that point, whether it's something you decide to do symbolically where you write things down and burn them, or it's just something you do in prayer or in meditation or something like that. But I think if you can make that definitive letting go of who you were, what life was like, what you had, let that go, and then look forward and start exploring and dreaming and thinking. And so I said in the title, in fact, the title says that, release the past, dare to dream, create your legacy. So that's the first step, release that past and then look forward and dare to dream again. And it might be new dreams, it might be dusting off old dreams, but that's the starting point for any reinvention. And remember, it's like an evolution. It's not one reinvention. Like I didn't reinvent at 43 and that was it for me. It's been the start of such an evolution. And so I just encourage any ladies listening to take the time to do that. Release what's gone before. Even if it was just yesterday, release it. It's done. Look forward, dare to dream, and think about what next. What next?
Yeah. And that made me think, what tool do you use? Because a lot of people think that it's hard to dream. Like, I'm so busy, I don't have time to think about it. And then nothing happens because they don't have any vision of the future that they want. So what do you have, a practice that you use to dream?
Gosh, I have lots. I have lots that I use. And like I said, I just give practical steps, in my hacks. A really good one to start with, though, is what are your values? Find a list. Go online. There's heaps of lists of values. So, values like integrity, trust, honesty, so many, faithfulness, whatever. Mm-hmm. There's so many. Go through those lists and circle what are the top five. Then see if you can pull it down to the top three. What are the values that mean the most to you? And then once you've got identified those values, start dreaming about how could you use them? How could you actually put those values into action? So it might be, would it mean going back and studying? Would it mean using what you've got and going and helping a person down the street? How can you live to your values? Like I said, I identified one of my values, and that is service. One of my values has always been to serve others. In fact, it's really funny. There was a British program. I remember my parents watching years and years and years ago. In fact, it's funny, I've never told this story before either. You're reminding me of all these things, Laurie. It's really cool. And it was a program about a British boarding school, but the title of it struck a chord in me even as a teenager, and it was To Serve Them All My Days. And that I still remember that title, and that has been my thing all these years of service. How can I help? How can I teach? How can I encourage? How can I empower? How can I serve you to help you live your wonderful, inspired, beautiful life? So I think if people start by looking at their values, that's a great place to start.
Yeah, I love that. Such a great idea. Okay, well, thanks so much for being here. Thanks so much for being so open and sharing your life with my listeners. And I look forward to continuing to connect in the ways we do. And good luck on those books.
Thank you so much, Laurie. Yes. It's just been a real privilege to be here with you. And thank you for being so patient. We've been trying to get together for so long.
I know, we have back and forth scheduling wise.
Look, I'm so glad we've connected, and I'm looking forward to, I'm sure we're going to be doing some things together down the track. So look forward to it, Laurie.
Okay, bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at notyouraveragegrandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.